So here we are, Saturday night, real life, Gina Pastore and David James. Gina is not going to be in tonight. She is phoning it in. No, not really. She hurt her back. She's moving some things around the house and tweaked her back. And Dr. Mark Baker joins us, Levy Counseling, and we're going to be talking his book, Spiritual Wisdom for a Happier Life. I mean, come on, man, you're in the healing business when it comes to, you know, the soul and the heart and the mind. Come on,
yes,
what words do you have for Gina, man? I mean, you know.
Gina, I know you're listening now, and I want you to know I'm praying for your healing. That's what I've got for you. Sometimes people think that's the only thing you can do, but actually it's the most important thing you can do. So that's what we're doing. We are. We just did pray for you, Gina, and we're praying for your healing.
Amen, brother. And so a couple things, Gina. I'm going to go to Costco and get a multi-pack of sliders to put the bottom of your furniture. And then please, next time you want to move a trash can and move things around the house, call me. Call your co-host. Mark, thanks for joining us tonight, man.
Hey, Dave. Good to be here. It's always good to be here.
What's been going on with the Baker family?
We're all good. Oldest Brendan is heading off to college next year, so we're in the middle of that whole thing right now. And you know, my twins, Aiden and Brianna, are still in seventh grade, so we're all happily at home doing all that stuff. So when I leave here, I go home to my real job.
Yeah, that's exactly. I always joke, I go to work to get away from work.
Yeah,
you know, and that whole thing with college.
I know.
Wow.
Oh my goodness. I know.
So how'd you get time to write the Spiritual Wisdom for a Happier Life with all of that going on?
It took a few years, actually. Actually, I wrote that book several years ago for my audience in Brazil. You know, I sell a lot of books down there in Brazil. And they published it there in Portuguese. That's, but it's been out there already. You know, it's been out there for 5 years. And it took us that long to find someone who was just the right publisher up here to do it. So Revell took it on. So it just came out in English here in the United States about 4 weeks ago. But in Brazil, it's already sold, several hundred thousand copies. It's well over 250,000 copies. So it's doing really, really well down there. And we thought we'd bring it up here and see how many people we could bless with the book up here.
What inspired you? You said it started a couple of years ago. It's called Spiritual Wisdom for a Happier Life,
yep.
How Your Eight Key Emotions Can Work for You. What inspired you in writing the book to start writing it?
Well, what most people don't know, and what we now know, because we can take pictures of the brain now that we couldn't take before, called fMRIs, so we know how the brain works more than we ever knew. And we now know that the emotional part of the brain is many times faster than the thinking part of the brain. So if you're going to feel something like anger or surprise or there's certain emotions, we can see the brain firing up in that area. Well, you might be angry before you even know what you're thinking. So I knew, wow, we really have to really live the fullest lives possible. We need to be very emotionally savvy because our emotional part of our brain is working way faster than our thinking part of our brain. So I thought I need to write a book that really helps people integrate their emotional life into their spiritual life and their thought life, because that's up there going faster than you realize. And that was the genesis for writing this book. So we identified the eight key emotions that everybody feels all around the world, and I wrote a chapter on each one of those, really kind of lifting out of Scripture. What does Scripture have to say about that emotion, and how does that mesh with contemporary psychology and what we understand is healthy expression of emotion?
Now, is it emotion that is springing every decision we make?
Anybody who is in sales, anybody who's a politician, anyone who wants to motivate people to make a decision knows you motivate them by their emotions. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that. Anybody in marketing will already tell you that.
Right.
You know, you figure out how they feel, you motivate the emotion, then they make their choices. So what has been going on all along is that we've all been making choices based on our emotions. We just didn't know it. And so what I want people to do is to realize what they're feeling and grasp those feelings and make those feelings work for them instead of working for your feelings. We want to turn that around so we're the master of our emotions instead of them mastering us.
Ah, yes.
And so this is a book about that. How can I help people really understand what they're feeling and then how to feel those feelings and then to direct those feelings in a way that Bible says is godly behavior and psychology says is healthy behavior.
And the Bible being good for instruction of all things in life.
Amen.
Let's go back and study what it is Scripture has to say about each one of those eight. What are the eight key emotions?
I start off with hurt. That's the first chapter, and it goes to is anger, fear, anxiety, sadness, grief.
Guilt and shame, anger, and anxiety,
shame.
Sorrow.
We end with happiness and love, right. Happiness, really happiness, is different from joy. You know, joy is a fruit of the spirit, but happiness is the result of good choices. You know, happiness is based on your circumstances. So you can make good choices and live a happier life. You can make bad choices and you're going to be an unhappier life. Now, you can have joy no matter what your circumstances are, but happiness is the result of choices that you make. Mm-hmm. And so we try to help people make those choices that are healthy, both spiritually and psychologically.
And you break it down into 8 parts, and I love it because, you know, when I say there's 91 chapters, someone's going to think, oh my goodness, it's the Iliad and Odyssey part 2. No. I mean, it is. We were joking that it kind of looks like the Bible because it's so thick. But they're quick little, like 2-3 pages chapter, you know.
Right.
You were talking happiness, gratitude, the key to happiness, courage, faith, the myth of materialism. That's a chapter I was going to ask you about. One of my favorites as I've been reading the book. But each one of these are just real quick, 2 or 3 little pages with scriptures and real stories of people who have gone through what you're talking about.
Very real life stories, right. I wrote the book, modeled it after the most successful teacher in all of history, Jesus Christ, who every time he made a point, he told a story. And he kept it short and sweet and said, okay, you asked me about this. Well, let me tell you a story about that.
Yes.
Right? And boom, and he makes his point in the story. So that's what I did. And basically, there's about 90 parables is what they are. And I try to make a point through a real-life story of a real-life person. And people can pick the book up and put it down. No one probably will read the whole book, but you can read pieces of it within a few minutes and put it down, and you haven't lost your place because each chapter is only 3 pages.
I took this on a plane and was reading. I mean, it was just, I was able in 2 hours to read a significant part of it.
Right.
And it's not one that you have to start at the very beginning and then read to the end. I mean, and Claire, my wife, my bride Claire, loves that because she loves to go to the end of the book and read something and then goes back to the middle. And I'm like, why do you read a book that way? Why do you want to know the end? This one is you can go and whatever emotion that you're tapping into at that moment, you can go right in and you can read about it and study it.
We go right to that place. You know, if you think anger is what you want to read about, go right there. If it's sadness, you go there. If you want to deal with guilt or shame, you go there. You just go direct yourself to what you feel led to work on and need to understand better in your life.
The book is called Spiritual Wisdom for a Happier Life. Dr. Mark Baker from LaVie Counseling has written it, and you can find it at Amazon.com. You can find it wherever books are sold, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. Pick it up, Spiritual Wisdom for a Happier Life. So let's dive right into that happiness, the myth of materialism.
Right.
I found this one really fascinating because our culture is all about it's what we own, it's what we collect. And you quote Ecclesiastes 5:10 at the beginning of this, the myth of materialism. Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income.
Right.
And then this too is meaningless.
Right.
Which is Solomon just loved that. How many times is that in Ecclesiastes?
Exactly.
It's meaningless.
Right.
So the myth of materialism, America, we have everything at our fingertips, we're not satisfied.
I know. It's funny you'd start with that because just an hour ago I was in session with a guy who's an attorney. A very successful attorney, and he came to me because his marriage was in trouble. He was in trouble. He was in an emotional crisis, but his life, everyone would look at his life and think, man, you've got it all going on because you're very successful, drives the nicest car, lives in a multi-million-dollar home, and he was crumbling inside because everyone told him that was supposed to make him happy. Everyone told him that is where you go to answer all the frustrations in life, right? You got to nail that part down. Through working with me, he came to the realization that that was all meaningless, right? That doesn't make you happy. And now he tries to have conversations. He was just telling me this an hour ago. He tries to have conversations with his other attorney friends, and they look at him with this blank look on their face, you know, like, what are you talking about? He said, there's no happiness in that. And they keep saying, well, you just haven't worked hard enough, or you haven't gone long enough. And he keeps saying to them, no, working harder at the same thing and getting the same result is insanity, you know?
Yeah.
That's not it.
Right.
That it's really understanding what God wants of you in your life and having that relationship with Him is the only source of happiness. And the thing about wealth and the myth of materialism is that, and I think the example I use in that book is I was at over at a person's house where everybody was very wealthy and they were talking about all the stuff they had and they were comparing, oh, you have that jet? I don't have that jet. Oh, you have that car? I don't have that car. And it's not that they were bragging. It was that what they had was never enough. And it just hit me as I'm standing in the room, and I don't have a plane, and I don't have the nicest cars. It hit me. Even for the people who are there, who've arrived there, they're looking at each other with these hollow looks in their eyes going, oh my gosh, we've been sold a bill of goods. It doesn't work. And so it is a myth, that we use to medicate ourselves against our anxieties and insecurities in life, and especially living in Los Angeles. I mean, we're so wealthy here. Even the poorest people here are wealthy compared to the rest of the planet.
You end this chapter, I witnessed for myself that evening that whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income because materialism works sometimes, but only temporarily.
Right.
And we are inundated, man, constantly, a TV or if on the web or whatever, by, oh, we need this, we need this, we need this.
That. They're trying to quiet
What's
that.
What's the end game?
They're trying to quiet that emptiness inside because we're created for a purpose. We exist on this planet for a purpose, and it's to have a relationship with God and, after creation, with each other. And that's not good to be alone. So it's a relationship with God and each other. That's our created purpose, and we're ontologically, our very nature of being is going to be dissatisfied unless we have that. And if you don't have that in a satisfying way, then you default to substitutes. And materialism is the god of our culture, and we use that as a substitute for that missing connection. And once you have that connection, it's clear to you that that's what makes you happy in life is choosing relationships. Like my client that I was just talking to an hour ago, you see it. The scales fall off your eyes. And you go like, I don't need that bigger house. I don't need that brand new car because I have already now. He was saying to me, I have now what I thought I was going to have to work my whole life to get. You know, I have that relationship with God. I'm so glad I'm with a wife who's not materialistic, he said to me. He said, I found what I needed to have. I didn't know I was looking for it.
Spiritual Wisdom for a Happier Life, How Your 8 Key Emotions Can Work for You. Dr. Mark Baker from Levy Counseling has written this brand new book. You can find it wherever you buy books. Hurt and suffering, right. Guilt and shame, anger, anxiety, sorrow, fear, happiness, and love. The 8 key emotions that red, yellow, black, white, doesn't matter, are where we are racially or anything.
It doesn't.
It's what we have. Our humanness bonds us that way with our 8 key emotions.
That's right.
More on this next, Dr. Mark Baker. So Spiritual Wisdom for a Happier Life, Real Life, Gina Pastore and David James. We'll be right back. We're missing you, Gina.
Hi, this is Gina Pastore for my friends at the Berglund & Johnson Law Group. I know from personal experience that you never know when you will suffer a tragic loss or become the victim of someone's negligence. When I lost Frank, I was fortunate to have the compassionate and expert help of Dan Johnson. He took so much of the load off my shoulders with issues I knew little about. His expert advice and gentle guidance was crucial to me, and I know it will be for you as well, no matter what the injury or loss is. Hopefully, nothing happens to you or someone you care about, but if it does, please don't try to deal with it on your own. You can rely on the personal injury team I trust, the Berglund & Johnson Law Group. They're available 24/7. Call 1-800-4-IF-HURT. 1-800, the number 4, and the words if hurt. The Berglund & Johnson Law Group, the personal injury team that really does care.
Ah, what a real treat to have American Vision Windows as a sponsor of Real Life. Gina, I love American Vision Windows. I know you do too because your son-in-law, Josh.
Josh works for American Vision Windows, and they are the best window company that you can get here in Southern California, and I'm so proud that they are a sponsor here on Real Life.
Well, and the thing about it is, Josh is a dude that goes out and checks out homes and looks at what you've got, so perhaps that people can call American Vision Windows, and Josh, your son-in-law, could come to their home and say, hey, here's what we've got around the house.
Absolutely. Call American Vision Windows, and you may get my son-in-law, Josh.
Yeah, and that's how personal it is with American Vision Windows. They have the Del Mar package. They've got great financing, and they're just great people. That Bill and Kathleen.
They do an excellent job.
So reach out to American Vision Windows. It's 888-348-8989. 888-348-8989. And ask for Josh. Welcome back, Real Life, Gina Pastore and David James. We're praying for Gina. She's kind of taking it easy tonight. She tweaked her back. So we're praying for you, Gina. She's trying to move some furniture and trash around the house. Next time, call your co-host. I'll help you out. I'm going to go to Costco and get you a great big crate of those slider things. Put on the bottom of your furniture. Hope. No, Gina, we're praying for you. We've said a prayer and we'll continue. We're missing you tonight. We're talking Dr. Mark Baker, LaVie Counseling, Spiritual Wisdom for a Happier Life, how your eight key emotions can work for you. And there are eight emotions that tie all of us as humankind together. Every one of us, regardless of where we've come from, how much money we make, how little money we make, where we have lived around the world, these eight emotions bind all of us as humans. Hurt and suffering, number one. Guilt and shame, number two. Anger, number three. Anxiety, number four. Sorrow is number five. Six is fear. Seven is happiness. Eight is love. And when we dive into God's Word, in this book, Spiritual Wisdom for a Happier Life, Dr. Mark kind of takes Bible scriptures and deposits those into each one of these two or three little page pieces to each one of these chapters, along with a beautiful stories of real-world experiences, letting God control our emotions, like just giving it over to God. One of the chapters I was reading, and I love this one, we talked a little bit earlier in the last segment about materialism.
Right.
The one I really found fascinating, too, is why God created romantic love.
Yeah, right.
Proverbs 30:18. There are three things that are too amazing for me, four that I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the sky, the way of a snake on a rock, the way of a ship on the high seas, and the way of a man with a young woman.
That's right. Yeah, God created eros love. You know, there are different forms of love. There are different Greek words for love, as you know. And eros, God created by God. It's the whole book of Song of Solomon is dedicated to that, you know, helping us understand the wonderful nature of erotic love. And it's important for us to understand, especially as believers, that this is a powerful creative force created by God to be something that's good. It's not something to be ashamed of. It's not shameful. It can be misused, but it's a good and powerful force. There's a difference between erotic love and eroticized love. Mm. Now, erotic love is that love that God has created to draw us physically toward someone with which we have a good relationship. So if I'm spiritually and emotionally connected to someone, then I want to be physically connected to them too. And between a man and a woman, that takes the form of a sexual connection that is intended for marriage. So it's the bond that holds that marriage together. Eroticized love is those same sexual feelings, but it's those sexual feelings we have when we feel insecure and when we don't have a good relationship with someone. And that's what the whole porn industry is based on and most of Hollywood. They get people to use that same sexual feeling, but not to connect you with someone, but to cover over your own insecurities and your own shame and your own doubt about your own self. And so you can use it like a drug. So this sexual feeling, eroticized feelings, can be used to medicate yourself against whatever bad feelings you've got about yourself. And it's an extremely popular drug, right? But it's a perversion of really the creative force of connecting a man and woman together. So God created erotic love to bind a man and a woman together. That's why he created it. And it is to be used in that special relationship because it's the glue, it's the cement that holds us in a relationship. And during the difficult times, when things get tough, and all marriages do, my marriage does, yours probably doesn't, but mine does.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, thanks, Mark. No, unfortunately, it does for all of us.
For all of us. Well, you've got that special feeling for this person that kind of gets you over that hump. And I think also it's that magnetic draw that God knew we needed to have to get us, especially as men, to get married in the first place. Mm-hmm. You know, it drew me toward the first time I saw my wife, I knew that was it. You know, I was smitten. And I was drawn towards her. There's that erotic feeling. I want to get to know you. I want to understand you. And I want to be closer to you. And so it's that creative force to bind us together in a way.
And the world, like, takes this stuff and runs with it. I mean, we see how's the free love movement working out for us?
No, not well at all for anybody. People have tried to convince themselves that, love is just a recreational activity. You know, it's like breathing. You know, you can just do it. You have sex with someone casually. And what's the big deal? It's because when you're intimate sexually, when you take what God created as erotic love to bind you together, when you have that kind of sexual intimacy with someone, there's a promise that you'll be there for them. It's implicit in the act itself. If you're going to make love with someone, that other person gets the feeling that you're there for me. You're totally there for me. And that implies you're always going to be there for me. And if you break that off at some point, if you say, well, it didn't work out for me, I don't want to be there for you anymore, you break off a piece in that person's heart. And you break off a piece in your own heart because that creative force was created by God to bind you to that person, and we're breaking those bonds.
And if you're in that place right now, we want you to know, I mean, seriously, zero judgment for any of this. But here's the good news, right?
Right.
God created love. And when we go back to Scripture, he created all of these things. When we go back to Scripture and we tie Scripture back into what the context of what God created romance.
Right.
He created lovemaking. He created all that
stuff. He did.
And so when we take it back to the roots of what God meant it for, it literally repairs any of those damaged places. I mean, that's what the Holy Spirit does in our life.
Amen. And for those who have maybe had eroticized relationships, you know, where they were in it for their own insecurities, God can heal that today. Nothing is beyond redemption. Nothing is beyond redemption. And my book is just to help people understand, no, okay, so you got off the path there, so let's get back on the path. And Scripture tells us how to do that, and psychology tells us how to do that. Put those two things together. You can repair no matter what has happened in your life. That can be repaired. Now, some of us will have scars. You know, we're gonna walk with a limp, you know, if we've done that kind of damage to ourselves. But it doesn't mean you can't be made whole again, because you can. And whole doesn't mean perfect. It just means that we've healed the damage and we're now stronger because of it, and we can now love in even a more full and deeper way. Now that we've understand what we've done that didn't work, we can do what does.
I mean, truly, this is what this book is. As I've picked it up and I've been perusing it, and my bride Claire too, same thing, Mark. Spiritual Wisdom for a Happier Life, how your 8 key emotions can work for you. You really do an incredible job of putting true real-world stories in here and applying Scripture to it, and that God is in the reconciliation and healing business. We have to be open to that. Another one of these fascinating points that you talk about in those 8 key emotions is a healthy fear of God. That is something that we,
right,
as a church, I'm part of the church. I'm a Jesus follower, so I am the church.
Yeah, me too.
We've lost that healthy fear of God, and you talk about that here in the book too.
I do. It's the beginning of wisdom, you know, is to have a healthy fear of God, is to know that you're not God. And there's a respect for him that goes beyond anything else we have for anyone else. To have a respect for the creator of the universe and comparing yourself to him should make you afraid. You know, we should have this fear of being so much less than. And that fear actually is a good thing. Because what we have in our culture today is really a problem with narcissism. It's a problem with people who don't fear God. You know, the people who actually believe they are God. You know, when you start living as though you're the God of your own world, like I'm the boss of me, that attitude itself leads you down a path, like I said, of narcissism that results in damage to relationships. Scripture is very healthy by telling us, no, you should realize always, you should remember, you're not God. He's the creator, you're not. And there's a humility that comes with that awareness that he's not just your buddy. He's the creator of the universe, you know, and someone that I worship. And I think psychologically that's an actually healthy place to be. AA is a very powerful program that helps people deal with their addictions. And it starts with that, with realizing, you know, I'm powerless. You know, there are certain things that can overpower me. I'm not God, right? That is the beginning of a wise life, to realize I'm not God.
Spiritual Wisdom for a Happier Life, how your 8 key emotions can work for you. Christmas is just around the corner, and I think this would be an amazing book to get friends and family. It's each one of these chapters, just 2 or 3 pages long, and verses and real-world experiences where you'll open it up, and I know I have already, going, oh, wow, I'm not the only one that went through that. So, Mark, you've done a fabulous job on this. In closing, what are your hopes for the, book?
Well, I really pray that we in the church would be able to live the fullest life that God intends us to live. I fully believe he created every emotion on the planet, and he created it with a purpose. And our job is to figure out what God's purpose is for our life, what God's purpose is for our emotions. Mm-hmm. And my prayer is that there are people who are, I know people listening to this who are struggling with emotions in their lives, because we all do. I do. Everyone does. And I hope that they would find some help in that. It's really like a very inexpensive way to get a session of psychotherapy is what it is. It's, you know, for $15, you know, you can't get a session of psychotherapy, but you can read a book and get help in this area. And so that's why I wrote it, is if people can't get to my office or if therapy is too expensive, maybe they can, in the privacy of their own home or wherever they read books, they don't have to come into my office to get help with their emotions.
Oh, man, it is really great. Spiritual Wisdom for a Happier Life, how your 8 key emotions can work for you. Dr. Mark Baker. You can pick it up anywhere you buy books. and Amazon.com and LaveeCounseling.org if you want to get in touch with Dr. Mark any further. God bless you, man. Thanks for even Gina calling it in. Gina, please get better. Thank you, Mark, for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Dave. Always good to be with you.
All right. Once again, everybody, we'll see you again on the radio next week. Next Saturday, Real Life, Gina Pastore and David James. Click KKLA.com, the podcast. If you missed any of the Real Life shows, click the podcast button, scroll down to Real Life, and Gina Pastore Radio on Facebook. Good night, everyone.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like on a Jupiter and Mars.